Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast.
Heart of Texas, the trailer park is not slice and dark. Deep in the heart of Texas, Dad drinks his brew and he spits his chew. Deep in the heart of Texas, the TV blares but no one cares. Deep in the heart of Texas, here we go.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to
King
of the Hill podcast. I'm Mike.
And I'm Rusty.
Rusty, it's Friday. That ain't right Friday.
And we're
going to kick it off for us, right?
Yeah, I'll try to here.
Yeah, let's go.
We're live right now on YouTube. Here on my mobile device, which I need to plug in, actually.
I just love that that pink stand that you've got.
Yeah, I like it too. I use it at home. It's good. It's good for.
That's a nice little stand.
While I'm gaming and I have a video or something on.
I mean, I'm assuming it's 3D printed.
Yeah.
That's what it kind of looks like.
It is. That's what it looks like. It's all 3D printed.
It's cool.
Yeah, I like it.
Well, somebody knew what the hell they were doing when they put it together.
Yeah, they did. I don't know anything about this YouTube platform thing here either. What's that button do? Oh.
It YouTubes you.
That was a highlight, but apparently there's a button that.
You highlighted.
It'll give you like a. Clip.
Maybe it marks
here.
It. Yeah, it gives you like a 30-second
clip. Oh, and actually the first comment I was going to read is in the chat. So the first comment that I was going to read was, it was actually 30 minutes ago while we were recording our last episode.
Oh, very nice.
So C-O-V-I-O-X, Koviox, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, commented, y'all are great. Oh. Thankful I found you guys.
Thanks, Koviox.
You've been putting out content so quickly. I bet you'll blow up pretty quickly soon here, and people are going to want to go through the whole library. Yeah, so we've been going. Yeah, that sounds like a threat. So we've been going for a few years, and we were lacking on what we were doing, but we got it figured out and got it to where all of our old content and stuff is getting posted to the YouTube pretty regularly.
It's a content dump is what it is.
Yeah
you're going to get a content dump.
Yeah, you're
dump.
In the middle of a dump, a big turd.
Big old dump.
The next one I read is Rusty Shackleford 3320. He said, thanks for the shout out. It made my day here at work. He was somebody who was, shouted out in our last YouTube comment.
That's
shout
awesome.
Out on our Friday episode. Then we have DB Cooper 6058.
Oh no. DB Cooper.
He said, living on Reds, vitamin C and propane, the Grateful Dead. He said, oh my God, I can't believe you've never heard the song Truckin', which was me.
Oh, that is from Truckin'.
Yeah, it is from Truckin'. Oh, and
shit.
Chantel is back.
Thanks,
with us,
man.
On YouTube too. She's here hanging out.
Chantel. All right.
We have Cool Hand Lukewarm.
Oh,
I like that.
Nobody
a good
can eat 50 eggs.
No, I can eat 50 eggs. One of the best KOTH episodes, and that was on season 3, episode 2. They call it Bobby Loves.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
It's a good episode. Somebody, Square Peg episode, season 1, episode 2, Square Peg. Somebody commented, I'm the first comment. Vagina. He said, vagina, really?
That's so
in
stupid.
Exclamation.
That's really stupid, but I enjoy it.
Yeah,
good job.
And then let's go through a couple
first.
More here. While I usually like y'all's hot takes, this is secular, S-E-K-K-U-L-A-R. While I usually like y'all's hot takes, P Peggy Hill laugh.
None of my takes are hot.
I can't go with you on this one. The water in the hot. Okay, this is the hot water heater episode. Okay. The propane boom two, death of a propane salesman. Yeah. We were arguing about a hot water heater or water heater. I remember this. He says, while I usually like y'all's hot takes.
I'm glad it was just about a hot water heater.
Can't go with you on this one. The water in the hot, the heater is hot, and the heater keeps it hot by heating it continuously.
That's right.
Therefore, it is a heater heating hot water, making a hot water heater. All right.
Okay,
all
right. So it is a hot water heater?
That according to secular, the commenter there, yeah, it is.
So let me understand this argument. It is continuously heating the water that is already hot, is what he's saying, or they are saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, I can go with that.
It's heating water that's already
hot. I mean, I've always thought
keeping it continuously
hot. I've always thought it's a water heater, and so it heats
the hot water.
Cold water.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
The cold water, yeah.
But it, I guess
it doesn't come in hot from the street.
But I guess there is an argument that says it's already heated it and it continues to heat the hot water.
Okay, I would say that.
So, hey, I'm happy to go along that road with you.
Yeah, that's
water heater.
And then we have another comment here from XXB4XX. everyone has started a KOTH podcast.
Everyone.
But no one has ever finished one. Prove me wrong.
Well, we're
guys.
Going to.
Yeah, we're on our way there.
I love my mother's King of the Hill podcast because everybody started one. My mother has a real hot take.
Really good one. Yeah, really good.
She can't speak, but she's got a hot take
on
King
of the Hill. She loves Peggy. She's a big Peggy fan.
Does little wheelies in her wheelchair. Yeah. Our intent is to finish it.
Yeah.
I mean, shit, we're fixing to be on season 6.
And then another one from Koviox.
Koviox!
He said, I can't believe y'all only have a couple hundred subscribers. YouTube just recommended me. So we're getting into... We're sliding into an algorithm
all
here.
So hell the
algo. I really want to be like the goal is to be in the King of the Hill algorithm
absolutely.
Because it's
wonderful.
It's a big algorithm. A lot of people
are
watching YouTube.
I got to tell you, I looked up King of the Hill stuff this morning and we came up.
Yeah, we're with the SEO and everything that like all the goals I set to achieve when we first started as far as getting it out there fast.
Mm-hmm.
All of it has so far been pretty good for as long as we've been going. We haven't been going but like 3 years, not even 3 year, full years yet. So.
Yeah, but you know what? That is a long time in a podcast history.
It is actually.
It's
3 years
like
is a really
years,
long time.
You know? It's like 21 years.
It's definitely long. We're in the top 10% of podcasters.
But I will tell you this. I really appreciate all of you guys. And I don't care if it's a good comment, bad comment. I don't care. I just love the fact that you're listening and that you care enough to leave something for us. So
yeah, well, just remember with podcasting, though, it's like with any profession in the world. We might be in the top 10%, but the top 10% of people in most professions aren't making as...
top 10% of zero is still zero.
Yeah, they aren't making any money. The top 1%... Yeah. The top 0.1% of podcasters make a living.
Yeah. Well, I was listening to a thing yesterday and today. I was finishing up in the car on the way over here. They were talking about Joe Rogan, and it's a guy that knows Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
And he says, you know,
great guy.
All of this stuff gets banded around about like how much Joe Rogan made off this last thing. And it was like $250 million is what everybody says he got. That's not what he actually got. A lot of it's dependent on whether the ads work. A lot of it's dependent on affiliate codes and things like that. So it could be a quarter of that or even less that he actually made. But the point the guy was making was that Joe doesn't care.
He doesn't care about it.
He's
did
in a position
it so,
where he doesn't have to.
Yeah, well, he's also done it so long. He did it for a decade unmonetized.
Well,
he did it for a really long time without making any money for a very long time.
Used to, when you turn on Joe Rogan, it would be like 10 minutes of ads up front and then no ads through the show. Well, now Spotify has moved him from being an exclusive show to a regular show. And so now every 15 minutes, they pummel you with ads.
And you know why I don't watch it on Spotify anymore?
Because of that?
Because it's on YouTube now again. Yep. So I really...
on Spotify...
I didn't watch Joe Rogan the whole time he was on Spotify.
Yeah. I
caught
a lot of people
clips.
Did.
I just watched his clip channel because he kept the clip channel going on YouTube.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's his or if it's somebody that's a part of the Joe Rogan industrial complex.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
But if it's his actual clip page, that's the only place I was really catching him, yeah.
Yeah. I again, every 15 minutes they pummel you with ads, and the worst thing about it is you know how his conversations go, right?
Yeah.
In 15 minutes, boom, there's commercials. It could be in the middle of a word,
middle
of a sentence,
that's,
whatever. They don't care. They just pop them in every 15
minutes.
Yeah,
that's one thing I don't like about the ad.
It's nuts.
The ad
I don't like it at all. All right, so
unnecessary evil.
We got all that worked out.
Or a necessary evil.
Now
sorry.
That we've said how much we hate it, hey, remember you can go over to Patreon. We have a $3 a month tier.
Yeah, we got a $3 tier that you can.
We would really appreciate.
And if you keep on watching our YouTube, we are 300 subscribers and 1,500 watch hours away from being able to monetize our YouTube.
Somebody set up a YouTube farm for us and start clicking away.
We're really close to monetization.
All right, so here's my deal. Today it's 26 nuggets of wisdom from Dale Gribble. This is a story that was posted by somebody named Ada Elder.
Okay.
It says he's basically...
What was this on? This is on Reddit?
I don't remember what it was on, to be honest with you. I should have gotten that part,
but
I didn't. Ada Elder, you can look them up. It says he's basically a redneck Einstein, people wake up, which it's a good point. First one we get is Dale in his underwear out in the alley freezing his ass off while the other three guys look at him. And the quote is, "I finally stopped crying only because I started vomiting," which... don't know what episode this is. I wish they would accompany this with like what episode this is from.
Yeah.
But it's a great one no matter what. The next one is Dale in the garage. He's standing next to Boomhauer. And he says, "Last Christmas I hid Joseph's gift so well I still haven't found it. Cutest little puppy." Or should I say dog. That's yeah. A pretty damn good one. Now we've got him. And again, maybe you can help me with some of these as far as like what they're from.
Yeah.
But it's Dale driving around and it looks like a tiny Bobby.
Oh, yeah. Bobby's in the back. Is that the one where they're going to steal something from the school or something?
Well, Bobby's a baby in this one, though. You see that? He's so tiny. And Dale says it's. So
well, I think that's all perception.
Oh, maybe. He goes, "It's so great to be trembling from excitement instead of fear, huh?"
Does anybody in the YouTube chat know where that's from?
Yeah, tell us what that's from.
I don't know what that's from.
I do know what this one's from.
Yeah, I know this episode.
He comes out in his yard. Two old people pass by, and they go, "Your fly's down." He goes, "It's my yard.
It's my yard."
That's one of my
favorites. And he stares him down. Oh, yeah. That reminds me of my dad, because he'll go outside and like mow the whole yard in his underwear, and like the whole neighbors are like, "What's that guy doing out there?"
That would be me as well. I remember one time I was house sitting for some of our friends around the corner. And I was home. I think I was sick, maybe, or taking a drunk day or something.
Yeah.
And I had to go check on their stuff in their house. And I was in my underwear and a T-shirt, and I was just like, "Fuck it." And I just,
dude, went. If it's covered up, it's covered up.
I went walking down the street and around the corner, and then into these people's house with no pants on, and then came back.
If it's covered up, it's covered.
Do you know what? Nobody's there.
That's the guideline. If it ain't visible, it ain't it.
That's
no harm,
what
no
I'm
foul,
thinking,
right?
But whatever.
I mean, unless you're smuggling grapes.
That's true. Well, I got three grapes. So this one is Dale and Hank outside. He's trying to get Hank to look somewhere, and he goes, "Hey, Hank, look propane!" And then he just runs away when Hank looks at the propane.
The almighty Hank diversion tactic.
That's right. Hey, Hank, look propane.
We have this right here on crisp notebook paper. Or whatever this is.
I think this is the one where he hooks back up with his wife and they start having sex again. The one where he dips her in the hotel.
I thought this is the... wasn't this the bug episode with the chick?
Could be.
The other gal or whatever, the other bug lady?
Oh, maybe.
I don't know.
He's in the bed. He's putting his overalls back on. He goes, "Boy, if they gave an Olympic medal in sexual gymnastics, I would have taken home the silver last night."
You know, right
Way
now,
to give yourself credit there, Dale.
I feel like I'm in a courtroom.
You are,
and I'm
doing Exhibit B.
We have some evidence here supporting this man's inability to participate in society.
Now we've got
I feel
Dale.
Like we're doing Dale's court hearing right now.
Yeah, Dale crawling on sanity. The ground. And you can see like a baby gate back there between the room he's in the kitchen. He goes, "To an unsuspecting baby, almost anything can become a weapon."
Here,
and he holds up a knife and goes, "For example, this weapon."
Yeah, here on Exhibit C, this is where the assailant, Dale Gribble, hands the toddler the knife.
Show us where Dale touched you.
As you can see that this knife is quite large. Could even be
a
big Bowie knife.
Bowie.
We were unable to locate the knife. But here
the knife has not been found.
Here is the knife. If you want to find and see the knife,
the next one I believe is where he goes feral in the woods. Right? It's this one. Yeah.
Yep. I moved
That's
too fast.
That's the one where he goes feral. He's all covered in mud and stuff, and he goes, "Then I'm gonna replace my blood with your non-rabbit blood, which will both cure me and give me all of your knowledge of propane and propane accessories."
The level of meta right now is crazy. we're using paper to show clips of King of the Hill.
That's right.
The meta is insane. Right.
I printed all of these out and brought them.
I love it.
Now we're out in.
It's
the
almost like Bros, Foes, and Heroes. Those how he prints out those badass.
That's right. He prints out badass comics. He really
like
does,
the copies are
it's good. Yeah, it's good
digital stuff. Quality.
Yeah, we're yeah, gonna. Well, I think in that show we're gonna start doing like a top down where you can.
No,
you, can
you
just
should.
Like thumb through.
No, you should.
So now we're in the parking lot.
You
of,
should invite me on. I'd love to be on that show all the time.
We're out in the parking lot where it's like the honky tonk parking lot, and he's talking to Hank and Bill and Boomhauer, and he goes, "It's a scientific fact that women like round, muscular butts."
Yep.
And that's a nice callback to our Monday episode.
Yeah, our Monday episode where Hank, he doesn't have a muscle in his butt.
This one has zero context. It's just Dale with a giant bowl of cereal and Nancy watching him reaching down to the bowl, and he goes, "I'll just have my cereal with tears."
And it's like a fistful, too. He's like taking a fistful of cereal here.
All right, this one is Nancy, and Dale is in a suit. I believe this, I don't know which one this is from, but she goes, "Oh, my man looks so handsome." He goes, "I know." And I tapped 30 words per minute. Oh, it's where he had to go get a
fire
job.
Fire everybody.
It's where he had to go get a job. Right?
Well, and he got the job at like some marketing or some. Yeah. Some
he hated it. And then
some
he gets
computer
to fire
firm,
everyone.
Some customer service place or something. And he ended up getting fired.
She says, "My man looks so handsome." He goes, "I know. And I tapped 30 words per minute."
Yeah.
"Can we make out?"
Can we make out? Hey, baby.
That is.
It's me. How are you?
That's actually a quote from me, I think. Next one, we have Nancy and Peggy in their living room.
Nancy
says, "Dale, get out of the hot tub. We're stealing a news van." He says, "It's the perfect crime. How will
they
ever
report
it?"
I love that. Really yeah, good. That's yeah. a good one.
The next one, it's obviously 4th of July. All the boys are standing out there. Dale has a...
I'm going to get this one framed and hanging in my bathroom.
Has an Uncle Sam hat on. He says, "I'm so jacked up about America." And then the next thing is he sees a bald eagle, and he's saluting the bald eagle at the zoo. And, of course, he has a shirt on that says America, love it or leave it.
Lot of freedom going on.
Oh, boy. Next, we get just a picture at the library, obviously. It says, "We recommend," and it's got a thing that says Peggy's pick, and it points down to a book, says Pride and Prejudice, and it says Dale's pick, and it's just a handgun.
Oh, this is the episode where it was the book / gun club.
Oh, that's
In
right.
order to run the gun club, they had to do something else, and they ended up doing a book gun club, and they got busted or something.
One of the best
like that,
Dale
yeah.
quotes of all time from the next one. It doesn't matter who's in the picture or anything. It's just Dale saying, "Guns don't kill people.
The government,
kills
people."
That's really
it's
good.
A conspiracy Everything to commit conspiracy. Fraud.
Next one, Dale out in the parking lot with the Bugabago behind him. He goes, "I don't know what to do with my hands in real life. That's why I smoke." That's really good. "I don't know what to do with my hands. That's why I smoke."
You know, that's relatable. After I quit smoking, I didn't know what to do with my hands anymore.
That's absolutely
I would find
true.
Myself yeah. like touching, like well, bringing my hand up to touch my face, or I would like I would look for them. I would start looking, and I'm like, "What am I doing? I don't even smoke."
A lot of toothpicks, a lot of pins in the mouth, things like that, because you get this oral fixation.
I got rid of the oral fixation by dipping. I dipped for a little bit, and that immediately turned. Well, that's the thing is without dipping, I'd still smoke because dipping turned me off of tobacco so much I didn't even want to smoke anymore.
I bet.
Yeah, it was awful.
Gross. Next one is Dale outside, and he just says, "Sometimes I wish the government would just ban itself.
Ban
yourself. Wrap your heads around that, fellas." That's a good point he makes.
The feds are coming.
Now we got a big fire. He is comforting Nancy. He goes, "Baby, I always hoped we'd die together." Then he points at Peggy and says, "Peggy, you go die over there."
Peggy, you can die alone.
You go die over there. Next, we see Dale in the basement talking to his turtle. Kiss, kiss, kiss.
He's loving his turtles.
"Oh, come on. Where are you going? I'm not leaving without my kiss. I can wait. I can destroy you." Which is great. The next one, I believe, is just pocket sand.
Well, that is arguably one of the most iconic scenes of King of the Hill.
Yeah.
It is a meme. It has followed the it has been passed around the internet.
We had someone actually send us pocket sand one time.
Yes, actually it was our friend Jordan.
Oh, that's right, it was Jordan.
It was Jordan. She sent us pocket sand. She sent us also sent us a bunch of
marshmallows.
Squishmallows. She sent us squishmallows, which it was kind of funny that and she didn't know either.
Yeah.
that at the time she didn't know that the mammoth was big to the area that we live in.
Well, not only that, I had painted a big mammoth behind
and you painted a big mammoth behind us at the other studio. So for those of you that aren't aware, the area that we live in is known for one of the largest death sites for woolly mammoths. And they found woolly mammoths like in what would have been the most natural way to find them. You find like they've got like a mother and like the juveniles. And then they even have like some camels and stuff that they found down there too. So what the camel used to do, he used to roam around with the woolly mammoths like a guard dog. So they would all, you know, kind of get together. The camels were kept safe by the woolly mammoths. And the woolly mammoths couldn't see as good as the camels, so the camels would act as like kind of like a guard dog. So they'd start yapping and making a bunch of noise, and then the woolly mammoths would do kind of what elephants do now, where they circle their young and they kind of protect the young in the middle.
It's like a wagon.
The camels
circle.
Benefited from it, so the camels would jump in the circle too, and they would be kept safe by these woolly mammoths, which is completely unrelated to anything that we got going on right now. But yeah, so she sent us this woolly mammoth.
Well, speaking of things that are unrelated, what was the story I was going to tell you from Monday's episode?
Oh yeah, you were going to tell me something about San Francisco.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's wait till the end on that.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next one is Bill and Dale next to each other. He goes,
Bill and Dale.
For me, lying and swaying in a hammock is like a steady morphine drip without the renal failure.
Whoa.
The next one, he's just yelling at the guy. He goes, trust me, I'm an expert hater, which he kind of is. The next one, Bill, Dale, and Hank are in the car. Bill and Dale, for some reason, are taking off their shirts.
That's tough to do while you're driving.
Hank is reaching around and driving the car. He goes, Hank, if you're steering, who's taking off your shirt? Next one is
you're supposed to be steering. That's one of the things that whenever I'm driving and I go to put my sweater back on after taking it off, that's one of the things that like my life flashes before my eyes as I pull the hoodie over my head. You know, you don't ever do that while you're driving. You gotta like pull it off or pull it on. You don't.
No.
Oh, I drive a lot. Yeah. Well, I drive a lot, so my temperature fluctuates throughout the day while I'm driving.
I don't disrobe. Oh, ever. Okay.
It just fully dressed 24/7.
Well, I'm like on Arrested Development. I'm a never nude.
I
have to wear those little jean shorts.
Spanks.
And wear those little jean shorts in the shower. The next one's just Dale and a girl, and he's holding a glass of wine. He goes, "Are you attempting to know me?" Which is a great phrase. Two more.
That was the episode with the girl on the roof.
Yes, that's the other one.
The pigeon. They talk to each other in pigeon.
Hank and Bill are outside. He looks at Hank and says, "The people you are referring to are called hipsters, Hank. They walk slowly because they got nowhere to be, man." Which I don't know what that one's from. And then one of my favorites, Dale just saying, "Time is a flat circle." Which it kind of is.
I watched that Interstellar the other day again.
Oh yeah, how'd that go? You really like it, huh?
I did. I watched it twice. I watched it last week too. I talked about it.
Yeah, I remember you talking.
It makes
about
me uncomfortable every time I watch it. I don't know. It just makes me wholly uncomfortable to think that is a potential reality. Because, like I said, the movie was based in actual science. There was an actual scientist that worked on it with him, and I want one of those TARS things though. That was pretty funny. He goes, "What is your what would he say? What is your sense of humor rating?" 85. He's like, "Well, can you turn it down to 70?" Yeah, that was good.
That's pretty funny.
But it is a movie to me that is very anything that talks about time in any relative sense gives me anxiety and makes me nauseous a little
really?
Bit.
Like,
yeah.
Like time
like any kind of
stuff like that?
Not necessarily stuff like that, because that does like Doc Brown doesn't really give you any kind of existential thought. You know what I mean? There is no like existential thought in Back to the Future or a lot of like Time Cop and stuff like that. But in Interstellar, they kind of tie in all of these things. Like at the beginning of the movie, his daughter is seeing all this stuff in the bookcase. And then at the end of the movie, you find out that was him in another dimension communicating with himself to save the world kind of thing. So it's just, I don't know. It's a really, I don't know, existential movie, I guess.
All right, so let me tell you this story.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was reading an article yesterday about this guy in San Francisco. He's in the tech sector, right? So all these companies have started leaving San Francisco,
these
tech companies.
There's like most of the office buildings are all empty right now.
Well, think about it. I mean, they've got rampant homelessness. They've gone up to $20 an hour for fast food workers.
One bedroom house is like $210,000 to buy.
It's just so much. It's so expensive.
I just don't understand how it got like that and how they sustain any type of anything.
Yeah. But this guy, apparently he's calling for secession and for it to become a tech state. So he wants San Francisco specifically to secede from California.
Yeah.
Become a tech only state, and then the people there have to be loyal to the tech state. They all wear gray t-shirts and they call themselves Grays. If they see each other on the street,
crazy.
They have to like nod. In addition to that, he wants to get all the cops on their side by giving them extra food. Think about what I just said.
Giving cops food.
Think about what I just said.
Is this the apocalypse? Is that what this was?
Well, that's what I'm saying, right? Are you going to restrict food so that you can give them extra? How is this working?
How does this food distribution service work?
Yeah. Normally, I would look at this and think, oh, this guy's a crackpot, right? Because he's predicted a couple of things, nothing's happened or whatever.
No, but I definitely think he's a crackpot.
The problem is a lot of these VC guys and these money guys, they're behind him and they think it's a great idea.
You know why?
That scares the shit out of
me. You know why they think it's
a
good
cult
idea?
That's
what it's all about. Everything. It's about control and manipulation.
It is. It is.
It's all money based. So
it is. Absolutely.
That's crazy. I haven't ever read that. I'm going to have to read about that because that sounds.
Well, I just wanted to send you down a rabbit hole there.
Yeah, I'm going to get into that rabbit hole.
Yeah,
probably get myself an anxiety attack in the process.
If anybody's looking for a read here about this, here's the title of the article that got me. The Tech Baron Seeking to Ethnically Cleanse San Francisco. Anytime you start saying the words ethnically cleanse, you got problems. And if somebody else is taking that seriously, that's how a Nazi state was born. That's how all of this stuff happened. It is scary, scary shit.
I found it here. The New Republic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Balji.
Yeah, and it's
Servanson or something like that.
And I'm going to, I don't want to make any assumptions, but I assume he is
Indian.
Or somewhere
all these folks get behind him and
part of Asia.
You talk about scary shit. Anyway, it has nothing to do with King of the
Here
Hill.
You go. Balaji has the highest rate of output per minute of good new ideas of anybody I've ever read.
And that's a VC guy saying this.
Yeah.
So a venture capitalist.
Anderson Horowitz. Yeah.
So a venture capitalist that.
Andreessen Horowitz, sorry.
Well,
yeah, that's
Andreessen.
Huge...
Andreessen, I believe, was the one that was involved in either Google. I was telling my wife this last night. It's either Google, PayPal, or one of those big tech companies that got out. I want to say it's Google, but it's a big VC firm at this point, and they deal mainly in tech, and they think, boy, that's a great idea. Let's get the government out of here, and let's do it ourselves, and we'll ethnically cleanse everything.
Yeah, it says here, his appetite for autocracy is bottomless. Mm. I'm not a fan of
scary.
Autocracy. So
I'm not either, and when other people start taking it seriously, that's when you got problems. But
yeah,
not anyway,
not
trying
autocracy.
To end on a bad note here, but you guys go check that out and let us know what you think.
And this is the quote here. This is a quote from the guy directly himself. I just think it's interesting.
Yeah.
What I'm really calling for is something like tech Zionism.
There you go.
After comparing his movement to those started by the
hang
biblical.
On, hang on. I want to give this the importance that it needs here. He's a tech Zionist, and he compares his movement to who?
A few people, actually. Mm-hmm. It says, after comparing his movement to those started by the biblical Abraham, Jesus Christ, Joseph Smith,
yep.
Theodore Herzl, which is he's like the spiritual father of Zionism, the one of the state of Israel, Lee Kuan Yew, which was the authoritarian ruler of Singapore.
Yep.
It says here, if you see another gray on the street, you do the nod.
Uh-huh. Yeah, people in gray T-shirts. They all wear gray T-shirts. And he compared his movement to those of Jesus
What's
Christ
What's the nod,
Joseph
though?
Smith. I don't know. You do the nod, yeah.
Is it up, down?
That's scary shit, though, right?
That's rough. Yeah. That, like, you know what's even scarier? Is to say it out loud and have the access to the power that these guys have access to, the money and stuff. to like vocalize it is crazy.
I guess
it's kind of funny. I don't know. It could make a good movie.
I guess in an episode where we're getting nuggets of wisdom from Dale Gribble, this really kind of fits.
Yeah, it does. It does. Yeah, it does. It is definitely a.
We should start a cult.
A good
Dale
conversation.
Gribble.
Yeah,
no, let's do a Dale Gribble cult
in exchange for extra food and jobs.
See? For the police and all their friends and
I don't get the food
family.
Well, I really don't. Do they think that cops are just starving right now?
Well, they said that they're going to have these little banquets for them once a month.
Yeah, I saw that. So what, they're going to have a pizza party for the cops?
They're going to have a pizza party for the cops and keep them on their side, yeah.
And you got to wear gray shirts.
Anyway, go look it up, guys. You'll have a ton of fun reading
it. It almost sounds like a joke. He says a huge win would be a gray pride parade with 50,000 grays. That would start to say, whose streets, our streets. You have the AI flying spaghetti monster. You have the Bitcoin parade. You have the drones flying overhead in formation. You have the bubbling genetic experiments on beakers.
Bubbling genetic experiments.
On beakers.
Oh, boy.
Oh, and then there is reds. Reds should be welcome there, and people should wear their tribal colors. No blues should be welcome there. His color-coded apartheid system.
No blues.
He compared his color-coded apartheid system to the Bloods versus Crips gang rivalry.
I wonder what the Bloods versus Crips
think. Is this a joke?
It's not a joke.
It's really not.
That's the scary part.
That's crazy. It sounds like some
it's crazy
mad
stuff.
Shit. Yeah, really I'm going to have to bookmark that and read that whole thing. That's nuts.
Well, hey, guys, we're asking for a little bit of your help. If you can go over to Patreon and check out our $3 a month tier, we would really appreciate it. Help
appreciate
keep
that.
The lights on, keep Mason and Burritos. And then remember that every Monday episode comes out on YouTube, also on Spotify as far as video goes.
And
all
it's also live streamed on Instagram
as well.
We also live stream our Monday episodes.
Yeah, you've set up some live streams.
We've been pretty consistent, and I've noticed that people are watching.
It's great.
So we'll keep doing
it's
it. As long as people are watching, we'll keep doing
it. Well, and the nice thing is once you do it, it's there. You know, so they can go check it out whenever
you can
they
go
want.
Check it out. Yeah. And not only that, it gives you early access to the entire Monday episode. So if you really wanted to listen to Monday before Monday was Monday,
that's
you could
true.
Watch it on Instagram.
That's true.
So
without any cuts.
Without any cuts.
Hey,
all the ad cuts and everything in there.
Speaking of that, where can they find us?
You can find us at youtube.com/@BWAAAKOTH. You can find us at BWAAAKOTH.com. And you can also find us at RogueMediaNetwork.com/BWAAAKOTH. I'd appreciate it if you went over to the YouTube, hit like on some stuff, subscribe on some stuff, and comment on some stuff. And we'll I comment back pretty regularly. I'm on top of that. I comment as soon as it pops up, and I'm able to. So, yeah, we appreciate everybody hanging out and continuing to watch our show.
Yeah, and thanks for any of you who tune in on these That Ain't Right Fridays. We know that they're not specifically about King of the Hill all the time,
but that's
we
the
have
whole
fun
point.
Talking to you guys.
Yeah, so
we really appreciate it.
So like our Friday episode was because as all good things do, they come to an end, and eventually King of the Hill show that
they
we
will.
Do will eventually end. And in order to diversify the content and to have something to continue to give you guys afterwards, that's where these Friday episodes kind of come from.
And I think there's some people that have called us out and said nobody ever finishes the King of the Hill show. So we got to prove
it. Yeah, we did get called out.
It's not a bad thing.
It's a praise. It's a praise and a call out because they enjoyed the show and they liked what we're doing enough to tell us, hey, we've seen a lot of these start, but we've not seen any of them end, which is a myth because there was one show. They blazed through the Son of a Gun and got it done in like a year. But going episode by episode like we do and other podcasts have done, there is not anybody that has made it past season 3.5 or 4.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
And we're on season 6 next. So if y'all want to do the math or do the research on that, I'm pretty sure we are the furthest along King of the Hill podcast ever.
Especially one at a time.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, one episode at a time.
I appreciate what those guys did because I checked out their stuff, and they've actually he was actually on the show.
Hill Kings?
No, not the Hill Kings. It was the other one. I can't remember the name of it. Yeah. I cannot remember the name of it. That ain't right. No, it wasn't that. It was something. They got
a
Venture Bros now.
Oh yeah, it's not any.
No,
of that.
They switched to
now they're Venture Brothers.
They're doing Venture Brothers.
Huh.
They're doing
that's a great show.
They do like 4 episodes at a time, where we're doing one at a time.
Yeah.
So they were able to blaze through it in like 100 episodes and be done with King of the Hill. So We've still got a few years to go yet. From
we're kings of taking a 22-minute episode and pulling it out to an hour and a half. So we're really good at
trying
that.
To give you all kind of contextual relevance to Texas too. Because I think a lot of people watch King of the Hill and they see all this stuff and they're like, oh, "Is that really? Is that something that happened?" And we're from Texas, and we're from the area of Texas. The show is potentially based in. They mention Belton a lot, and I drive through Belton twice, three times, four times a week. So
really.
Yeah, right now, going up and down I-35. So, yeah, so
well, guys,
it's fun to be a part of.
Once again, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it, and we'll see you again on Monday.
Oui, Matanye.
Oui, Matanye, indeed.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.